This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
That is the sound of snoring. And that is the sound of sleep apnea. Every night, millions of people stop breathing for more than 10 seconds for 10, 20, 30, even 80 times per hour while they sleep. And that's dangerous. If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Taste Trenton, 2019. Here's how it works. You purchase your wristband at tastetrenton.com. You invite your friends to get their own wristband and join you. Pick up your wristband and your passport guide on the day of the event at Artworks. You choose the restaurant you want to visit, show your wristband, and enjoy the specialties at reduced prices. Continue on your excursion all weekend long, all 3 days. Update your photos and paste your comments on the Taste Trenton Facebook page, and then you return home satisfied that you know new places that you can go for lunch and dinner all year. Taste Trenton, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th, this year, 2019. See you there.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
That's right, Trenton Waves. We are back again this week. I'm here with my wife, Christina.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Everything good?
Yes.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because, like, wouldn't you know?
Well, I want to make sure podcastee understands that everything is good.
Everything's good.
Already have my two cups of coffee. I'm ready to go.
All right.
You know, we got an email recently from this dude. Like, there was an episode with Tom Reeves called The H is Silent. I think it was, like, episode 4. And, you know, God bless Tom.
Artist Tom Reeves.
Artist Tom Reeves. Mm-hmm. It, like there's any other Tom Reeves with the H is silent.
Right.
And we start talking about, you know, how there's no, you know, it's a shame there's no galleries in Trenton. And I don't know, you know, he's an artist.
Right.
Okay. He's like, yeah, it is a shame. There's no galleries. There should be more galleries in Trenton. I don't understand this. I have my studio. There's artworks. And that's it.
You know, you're going to make him feel worse than he
Yes, did. I understand that. No, I know. And Tom, if you're listening.
He already feels bad about
this. Yeah, don't worry, Tom. You're going to feel worse. All right, so.
Okay.
Like a couple of days later.
But something good came out of it.
Yeah, so something great came out of it.
Be
yeah,
happy,
absolutely.
Tom.
Absolutely. Okay. So I get this email from this guy. And he goes, hey. You know, I was just listening to The H is Silent with Tom Reeves, and you mentioned there's no galleries in Trenton. How could you not know there's no gallery? What about the BSB gallery? And I'm like, oh
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. No. Listen, Tom should have known this. I'm pleading ignorance on this thing, all right? I didn't know. We just went to an exhibit at the BSB called Scrapped,
right,
where they make these things out of scrap pieces of garbage and trash and cigarette
right.
butts. It's amazing.
They recycle it from a collaboration with TerraCycle, I believe.
Right.
But what the good thing is, we would not have really been aware of it unless we had gotten that email.
That's why we encourage everybody to email us good, bad, indifferent, smart remarks, whatever you want. And this episode today comes from that email sent by Craig Schofield, one of the people over at the BSB Gallery.
Yes.
And here they are right now today with us. Craig, Anya, and Christy from the BSB Gallery. Say hello, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes.
Pleasure to have you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yes,
we're very excited.
We were very excited to see the exhibit.
Also, just to, including everybody, there's also in the Vault Gallery is artist Heman Moon, who's got an installation, and it's called...
Green Palace.
I actually love that. I love that one when we came. I like that it was in the vault and it was like the secret room.
Yeah.
Yes, and we actually met the artist that night. That was the first Friday you had. Was that the opening for the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves
here. That's all right. What's the whole history? Because here's your chance now. The whole history of BSB Gallery, what's it all about? This is what we podcast you want to know.
It's an incredibly long history.
Okay.
Open for like a year. Just over a year.
Okay.
The idea came from the TDA, Tom Gilmore and Megan Singletary, who wanted to activate a space. There's this annual thing in Princeton where a bunch of art organizations go and make their plea for funding. And they asked for funding, and they weren't given funding, but one of the angel investors, we were calling her, Betsy Sands, and a group, along with IELTS, actually, who did a matching grant, said, you know, yeah, sure, here's some money, but they asked for a little bit of money just to keep the gallery open for maybe a year, and
right.
I think Betsy said, don't you want to be open for more than a year? And actually gave them money to have us open for, we're guaranteed to be open for 3 years. This is the
oh, very cool.
So that's how it came to be. Megan could not, at the time, had to be out, so they asked me to kind of fill in for her while she was gone. And a year later, I'm still here, and shortly thereafter, we hired Anya and Christy. And that's the beginning, that's the short history of how BSB started.
Well, jumping off of that, could you tell me a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this realm?
In this gallery specifically, or in the Trenton art scene, I'll try to like make it brief because I keep telling the same story. I feel like people are going to get sick of the story.
I haven't heard it. So
yeah, we haven't heard it.
No, it's new for me.
My wife moved to Trenton before we were married because she was going to Passage Theater,
okay.
Which is just down the street.
Right.
And she decided she liked the area and decided like right then and there that she wanted to buy a house in Trenton. And I kind of was like, what? Like, I need to case this joint. But anyway, 2 weeks later, she had a house in Millville. She is now on the board of Passage Theater. So,
that's what happens.
Yeah. And I'm like,
so she's one, she's one of the five people that run Trent.
Sometimes I think she is. And so she's now a board member. But then we got married, and obviously I had to move in with her. And I got sick. I was on my second kidney transplant, and so I was housebound for a little bit, and I was doing art, and it's really easy to do art here. I kind of was in Art All Night, volunteered for that after I was, you know, able to, and somewhere in that time, I decided that, I said, hey, honey, I don't think I'm going back to work. I'm going to be an artist. And she said, oh, what?
And it's all your fault.
Yeah, and she did say, you got 3 years. To make money, or you're going back to work.
Wow.
And I said, okay.
Good for her.
And so I hustled my butt off and, you know, started creating some of my own pop-up shows and I guess got a name for myself. And when the TDA approached me, I think they were just kind of using my name. And they basically said, we're using you for branding to draw some people. And I guess they didn't know that I had the skill to run things and I was doing, as we all do, run our own shows, because as an artist you have to curate your own shows and make up some sort of things.
Sure.
You can continue to put your stuff out. And that's how I got here. And that's my short story of how.
That's very, very cool. Wow.
Story. And kudos to your wife for giving you that freedom to explore that.
Right. And giving me a time limit.
Well, yeah, sure, you know, because I'm married to an artist and also an entrepreneur. And this is like a side note, but for women to give their partner, or vice versa, men to give their partners the opportunity to explore some things within the realm. Kudos to her for having that ability and to trust you. We have a good relationship then. That shows a good relationship. Anyway,
so was the team already formed? I'm just assuming Christy, Anya, Craig, you guys are the team that kind of run BSB Gallery, correct?
Well, I think Anya has an interesting story.
I want to find out all their stories. So.
Yeah, okay.
But I think Anya was there already, and you can. I don't know how you can you say that how you kind of put your name in the ring.
Oh yeah. So a little bit of background on me: born and raised in Trenton, loved Trenton, and then I moved to Miami and moved to Camden, and I was like, hold on, never mind. I got a really odd job working in a pharmaceutical company, and I was shooting photography and I'm running around, and on a whim I went to Mill Hill Park and I was taking photos of a festival that was going on there, and I met this guy named Habib, and we actually took a picture of each other, and then we started talking, and I actually still have that photo, and it's horrible, unfortunately. But it was sort of the start of me getting into this thing that is the Trenton art scene, and he told me there's a warehouse party on a Sunday night, and it starts at 8 p.m., and it goes to 8 a.m., and like an idiot, I was like, that's a great idea. I should go there alone.
To be like, young and naive.
Yeah, like, love that. I didn't think so. I was like, I came from Camden. Like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I love that. I still have like all of my organs. But I went there, and it was The Hive, which was sort of an offshoot of Sage Coalition's 219. And there was a bunch of really cool people doing stuff in there. I got to know one of them named Messiah, who makes candles, and he's an artist. And he and I just hit it off. We became really close friends. And I started slowly working my way into the arts organization called Sage Coalition. From that point, I kind of became their, one of their people, sort of.
Right.
I was helping them organize events. I got involved with another organization called the Orchid House when they were still starting to really build that organization, literally from the ground up, like gutting the building, and started doing... I don't even know what my title officially was for Sage. It was like marketing director or something silly like that. But eventually Sage Coalition dissolved, and I had been working odd jobs, kind of. I was still shooting. I had become really well immersed in the art scene in Trenton. I had shot tons of events for the city. I had taught programming in tons of different areas in Trenton, from like Wilbur to like the West Side to South Trenton, and was really starting to, you know, kind of integrate myself and solidify like my roots here, which was great because I left this place really not liking it, and then I came back to a very different chapter or page, what I experienced in this history. And I really wanted a different job. And I don't know where I was, but I saw somebody and they were like, hey, you should apply for this place that the TDA is doing. And I was like, and they said it was an art gallery. Okay. And it's, a lot of jobs that you can get in the city, no one knows about. They're not posted anywhere. You kind of just have to like shake enough hands and just kind of have little side conversations to hear about them. So I basically strong-armed my way into this. Craig did not know who I did not know who Christy was. I didn't know anybody at TDA. The executive director that I knew who was at TDA was no longer there. A lot of the people who used to work there, I didn't know. So I like got an estranged email and like sent a cover letter for a job that I didn't know what it was and my resume. And basically was like, I'd like to be considered for this position that you maybe have. And then I got an email from Tom Gilmore. I had an interview with him. And he was like, you're great. And then I met Craig. And Craig was like, no. And then, like, I remember the first, it was very different. It was a good interview. You're a good interviewer. But, yeah, and then I showed up here. They were like, we're going to do a private opening for a show in February. It was the first show. And I'd never seen space. I did not know what my job was. And I basically just, like, put on, like, nice, okay clothing and came here. And one of the marketing managers at TDA came up to me while she was at the opening. She was like, it's so great to have you here. This is going to be so great. Da-da-da-da. Basically, you're just going to sit in the gallery. And then on the side, she was like, would you mind doing some social media posts from time to time? And I was like, yeah, I can do it. I just work in pharmaceutical marketing. And now we're curators. And we write contracts every day.
Wow, and, man.
Yeah, so the job really did. It turned in from me just sending an email to someone who I did not know on a whim.
Or not knowing what the responsibilities were, that you felt you would have been an ideal candidate for.
Okay, right. Yeah, no, I was perfect. I was exactly what they needed. And but you know, it working with Sage Coalition, I mean, I was doing things from negotiating meetings between two very large nonprofits and smoothing over, putting out fires. And I was writing master plans and I was writing for grants. And then one day I would be like picking up tires and putting them in my car for a workshop. So, you know, I had done enough things to the point where I was like, okay, whatever they need you to do, you might be able to do it, you know? As long as it's not like running program in Wilbur 1 for like an entire summer from 12 to 3, which is the heat of the day, you should be okay. So, and that is not what you guys had me do, so.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating.
It's interesting how you evolved into this person who's doing this job, coming from a different background, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Like, did you go to college for a particular thing, or did you go to college at all, or?
No college.
Cool. See, that's what I'm like, I'm all for education, and I think education is important as self-fulfilling, but I think you have to find your way kind of just by jumping into something and being, just take the risk.
Oh yeah, and I'm really grateful actually that I did not go to college right away. I was going to go to FIT for a business and like economics major.
Okay.
Yes, which would have been my life would have been extremely different. I would have been in New York, I would have been trying to figure out calculus because I'm not very good at math, but I wanted to do that anyway. I really would have had a completely different life. I think I would have been a different person, and I think I'm okay at this, so I'm happy that I didn't do that, because I probably would have been working a 9-to-5, and it would have just been like,
I think I had heard that she worked with Sage Coalition, and that was like, yeah, you can do that. Probably, because I know all the personalities that go there, and I basically just had called up Will Casso, who's a well-known artist in Trenton,
yeah,
and said, Anya, Mickey. And he gave me the lowdown. I'm like, okay. Yeah, she works with you. We're good.
I would love, I've actually really wondered about that conversation.
Like, oh, I'm never going to tell you.
In my life.
between you and Will Casso?
Well, yeah.
I'm going to get Will Casso on the show.
Because that was really the only thing for me, and I didn't have to interview after that. I'm like, you can deal with the Sage Coalition, man. I couldn't say that. I mean, Tom had hired her, but Tom was like, do you know this woman? And I was like, but I can find out.
I mean, Casso, like he's like a cheery uncle to me, but he and I have gotten into our own personal little things before. So I was that for me was one of those like no. I still think about that, but it's okay. I'll take your word.
You're here.
I'm here. I'm still here.
So now, Christy, you kind of tie this all together. Now you live in Monmouth County, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you work at the BSB Gallery Curators.
Yes.
What is your whole role here, and how did you get here?
My story is not nearly as interesting as Anya's.
you can make something up. You've already heard their stories.
Yeah.
You know, make something up that sounds even better than it.
But I mean, since we're all going way back when, I'll go way back when with
them.
Oh, man. Listen, first of all, Craig, you have to cheer up, number one, because you're bringing everybody down. Number two, Chrissy's been waiting for this moment.
So, I went to college originally for photography, which now I can't even take a photo without it being blurry, FYI. These guys make fun of me all the time because they are photographers. I wound up not using my art degree at all, and I taught for 10 years. And it was kind of miserable. And I had a friend who convinced me to start making artwork again. And I decided to start painting and doing sculpture and not photography. And so I was kind of I was self-teaching myself. And I took a class here or there, but I had to like really remember. I started doing artwork on my own probably about 5 years ago. And she convinced me to come to Art All Night. I didn't put anything in, but I just came and I checked it out and I was like, this place is amazing.
Wow.
I'm like, everyone's so friendly, there's community, there's art, I love this place. And then that same year, we applied to do a show at Artworks together and we got in and I was like, oh my God. Now I have to make this work that I don't know how I'm going to make. But we managed to do it. It was great. And then that following summer, I did put something in Art All Night. Hmm. And, I got to know Jesse and Addison and Lauren. They're all amazing people.
Right.
And they really got me, I guess, involved in the art community. And there's just this feeling of community here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that in other areas because I kind of bounce around from different communities.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll go up to North Jersey or my area and there's not the same sense of community and support that there is here.
Mm-hmm.
So I always come back here.
I like how you took a page out of Anya's book by applying to something you had no idea what was involved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Seems to be the way to work out.
There's a lesson here. There's a lesson.
Yeah, I had to make like 6 life-size sculptures in a 4-month period. It was not fun.
Whoa,
and I had no idea how to make any of them.
That's interesting.
I was just like, here are my sketches, guys. So, but anyway, so that happened. And then I started getting more, volunteering at Artworks here and there. And then I met, and I'm not sure how I met you, Craig, but we met. And at a certain point...
Common Threads?
I applied for your show at Common Threads, and I got in. And and so I was in one of, I think, Common Threads 5 with Craig at the Hopewell Valley Vineyard. And, you know, he did an interview with me and my friend Kate. Yeah. And that's how we got to know each other. And then we just kind of linked up on Facebook here and there.
Right.
And then at a certain point, I think I was modeling for Tamara Torres in her right. studio. And Craig comes in like a hurricane while I'm sitting there. And he's like, by the way, I might have something for you in a couple weeks. You still looking to work in a gallery? I'm like, yeah. He's like, good to know. I'll give you more information in a few weeks.
That's hilarious. Again, no posted. It's not posted anywhere. No wanted.
And yeah, so he texts me a couple weeks later. He's like, you want to do an interview with Tom Gilmore? I'm like, sure. He's like, okay, I'll give him your phone number. Tom calls me. We meet in like a cafe in Asbury Park.
So different from
mine. He's being wined and dined. And you're like shooting the arrows in the dark.
And Tom's pretty much just like, so you think you can handle walking around Trenton?
What? Really? All right, this message is going out to Tom. Dude, we gotta talk. How dare you? What are you scared of, Tom? Make sure Tom hears this episode. Jeez.
I'm like, I gotta try. It's fine.
You handle walking around Trenton. Oh, God.
So, and then I don't really hear from them for a little while.
Mm.
And then in between that time, I had to get my gallbladder removed.
Okay.
And Craig called me like 2 or 3 days after my gallbladder got removed. And he's like, hey, do you think you can come in next week for an opening?
And you said yes, of course.
And I'm like, yes.
She did say yes.
So the first opening, I'm there, I can barely stand. I have to have my husband drive me.
Yeah. But what does he get? He had a kidney transplant.
I did say, yeah, right? I don't have my own kidney.
Is that one of the requirements to work in BSB? You have to, like, either get rid of an organ, donate one, get one, give it to you. Maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he knew. Hey, can you handle walking around Trenton with this whole gallbladder thing? Maybe that's what he meant. All right, Tom. We're coming in. We're coming for you, bro. This is some team.
Yes, I know.
It's like a dream team.
So so you came to the opening and...
Yeah, and I didn't get wine and dine with marketing like she did.
Take that.
Yeah.
I think everyone was just like, you need to sit. I was probably covered in sweat.
When I first met her, she was like, yeah, I just had like part of my body taken out.
Oh, that was your first meeting with her?
Yeah, that was the first time we met.
And you guys said, hey, did you go to that rave?
I had never seen Christy, and I was just like, do you know what drove here an hour? And mind you, this is still like, I live here, and she's like driving here. And I was like, not only did you drive an hour to get here, but you also have a missing part of your body, and you're still like here. And then you just kept calling up. And then it was just every so often, you'd be like,
how do you feel now? You're right now?
Generally speaking.
Generally. Meanwhile, you're 3 blocks away, and you're always late.
I'm always late, yes.
You drive an hour to come here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you ever think about moving to Trenton?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
My husband.
Yeah. What's his problem?
He always waffles on things.
You should say, listen, let's move there for 3 years. We'll do a 3-year thing, like Craig's wife said.
Right.
And then that's it.
Have to talk to Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to submit work or they have an idea, they want to do a show, whatever, what would they have to do? What is your process here?
Well, we actually have an open call season, which we're actually talking about doing. We haven't agreed on it, but I think we're going to do it earlier this year in the fall. Mm-hmm. It seems to be the consensus.
We opened it up in mid-October.
Right.
And then it went until December.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then after December, we all kind of, actually, they took the initial charge of sifting through all the proposals we got, because we got we got about 60 or so, maybe more, proposals for our first time.
So there's a proposal that where would an artist get this proposal?
They go to the website.
Oh, okay.
You know, we'll put a general call out and say, hey, proposals are open, you know, and go to the website and fill it out. It may be a little bit different because, you know, we know how cumbersome it was this year, so hopefully we'll have a better process.
Right.
But that's how, I mean, we just have an open call season. And actually, people come in and we'll tell them, hey, this is when it's going to be, mm-hmm. you know, anybody's welcome to come in and ask about it. And we've had people do that, actually. Mm-hmm. Rosan, did I get that? Oh, I said it right. Kenneth came in during the proposal season. He's mm-hmm. a Trenton resident.
Oh, yeah. He was great. He came in. Yeah. I was there by myself that day. He came in. He asked, so how do you get a show here? I'm like, oh, we have an open call up right now. And I was telling him about it. And he's like, can I look around the space? I'm like, of course. And then he comes back a couple minutes later. He's like, can I take pictures of the space? I'm like, of course. And then we talk a little bit more. And he's like, I'm going to fill out this proposal tonight. I'm like, okay. And most artists don't do things like that. But he literally filled it out that night. And we had his proposal the next morning.
Wow. And he was one of the top four proposals that we got.
Okay.
So he's going to do a show this coming exhibit season.
Cool.
And then also to explain what a proposal is, so basically what we ask of people, we want images of your work, we want you to write a description of your proposed idea, what you're going to do, a bio, and an artist statement, basically, and any links or anything like that, and then we have a grading system that we go through everything with. So it's not really like me, Christy, and Craig are all just like reading proposals, and we're like, this one's bad, and then Christy's like, this one has a spelling error. You know, like there's a very rigid system to us, how we grade them, and people are missing things, and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, that's
all
cool.
That can normally be found like on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of the most important things is there's always got to be a community component to it, so that we're involving the Trenton community in some way, shape, or form. And it can't be an artist talk, FYI. It has to be something kind of inventive that we can go out and do with school children or anybody.
Like a workshop kind of thing?
It can be a workshop at whatever is kind of cool, but it has to be something that involves the Trenton community in some way.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a talk that is related to the artwork too.
Right.
Like for instance, one of the upcoming exhibits we're doing, we're going to put together a discussion on the politics of natural hair. It goes with the theme of their current exhibit that's up, but it's not an artist talk about their work. It's mm-hmm. about the theme of the show.
Okay, so the current exhibit you have up now, which is Scrapped, elaborate on how does that involve the community? I just want to understand.
When working with TerraCycle, we made sure that you guys have to have X amount of rigid community events. And basically, we had a presentation with one of TerraCycle's, she's a marketing development manager, I want to say, Lisa Pellegrino. She came in and had this really, really great, super casual question and answer about waste and how TerraCycle works to eliminate it, and our ideas and concepts of what is waste and how everyone can work together to sort of change the way that we look at the things that we throw out. And then we had an opening as well, and we're also having a closing reception slash like an Earth Month celebration where we're going to have some people from TerraCycle stand up and talk about the company a little bit more in case somebody missed that one larger event where it was really, you know, more of an in-depth explanation. So we really try and find things that are informative as opposed to people just sitting down and saying, like, this is what I did and this is how I made the work. And I do think that the presentation that we had was that it was a really natural discussion about the way that we think about things that we recycle and how we reuse things and how we can do that more. But yeah, we got some really good feedback from it too, from the people who came. So.
And that took place here in the gallery?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, it took place here. We had Lisa did something really cool actually. We set up the chairs so that she was standing in front of like three rows, and she asked like 40 something people, like adults, she was like, can everyone stand up and get in a circle? And they did. And they
wow,
like,
that.
Great. Everybody, like all of these adults, like picked up their chairs and like moved around with them, and they all formed this really great semicircle.
And they actually did it.
Open forum discussion where people were commenting and starting other discussions, and
it was like a classroom.
Yeah.
So there's a continuation of this exhibit, because you're going to be doing something for Earth Day that kind of close it up at the other end. Okay, so we can look forward to that coming up.
Yep,
okay.
Yeah, and that'll be on Friday the 12th from 5:30 to 7:30.
How long does an exhibit usually run? Is it
I guess we're averaging 6 weeks. They can be a little shorter, a little longer.
So if you have an exhibit running for 6 weeks, how often does the artist have to come in and like do something?
I think each one is different, right?
Yeah.
TerraCycle probably had more programming than the average. They're going to end up having three things.
Yeah. But contractually, it's only for their community component. The majority of most artists, though, will come for the opening, and then they'll come for the community component, and then they'll come like just to be there.
Yeah.
And we want to try to get an artist talk in there if we can, you know. I mean, because everybody's going to want to do that, and I think there's important value in telling everybody's story as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But we don't, that's just kind of a natural progression of exhibits. I don't want to just do that.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, we generally want to be flexible with the artists. We understand that they have lives and work and, you know, they can't just be here the whole time if they're focused. That's what we're here
that's
for.
That's right. From 11 to 5 every day.
So that's what's on show now. The exhibit is called Scrapped. What's coming up? Everybody points.
The one who Tom really wanted is being pointed to. The one who's being wined and dined in Asbury Park. Tom, you're up, Tom. You're up. All right, Christy.
So everyone pointed to me because this is the show that I'm working on. It's my project. TerraCycle is Anya's project, so we kind of switch off month to month. The next exhibit is called Split Ends. It runs from April 25th to May 25th. The opening reception is April 27th from 5 to 8, and it's a collaborative exhibit with two female artists, Atisha Fordyce and Quincy Baker. Atisha Fordyce does multimedia two-dimensional paintings, and Quincy Baker does installational sculptures, and she works with synthetic hair. So,
Split Ends.
Yes.
Okay.
They're both two women of color, and the exhibit focuses on African diaspora and maroon cultures of the Caribbean and Americas, and this idea of black identity being cumulative thing that had to be searched for here, and bringing your roots, making roots in new places.
Gosh.
Yeah.
April 25th to May 25th, Split Ends, catch at the BSB Gallery. Very cool.
Do you have any collaborations coming up with any galleries?
Craig,
all the galleries in Trenton.
we actually did a collaboration with Artworks, the Collaborators, which was in November.
It was Common Threads.
Yeah, I want to always say Collaborators.
Common Thread 7.
Common Thread 7, the last Common Threads exhibit, which was an annual show that I used to do out in the Hopewell Valley Vineyards, but brought it here for the last one. We did a partnership with them. We're going to be working with the International Sculpture Center.
I think you're going to see the International House of Pancakes.
International House of Pancakes. We had a meeting the other day and we're like, we're working with IHOP. And Ani was just, I'm so happy that you called IHOP too, because that's what I call it. I'm like, I'm going over to IHOP. But it's the International Sculpture Center. We are partnering up with them on some things, and there are some exhibits that I'm hoping that we're doing, hopefully, somewhere in the schedule in the next year or so. We're going to do a retrospective of John Narr, who was a Mill Hill Trenton native, amazing photographer, had some stuff in the MoMA, and the Boston...
I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, just passed away, not this past December, but it was Harry Hawkins, who was another photographer.
Okay.
I want to do a retrospective with them, but my master plan is to reach out to the MoMA because they have one of his pieces there, the Andy Warhol. That's his famous picture, is the picture of Andy Warhol. So hopefully we'll do some partnerships with not only local people, but far and wide. And Tom wants to do something with some galleries in Asbury Park. So that is definitely in our future.
Cool.
Very cool.
You're all artists and you all have different journeys here. What advice would you give to an artist thinking of coming to Trenton or moving to Trenton because they feel this a hotbed of stuff happening here?
Don't marry Jeff. I mean John.
Whoa! Oh my gosh! You might be moving to Trenton sooner than you think. Wow. that's one. One thing you could check off there.
I'll just work on it. I threw her off her game.
So, you know, it's a tough question though, because it's an easy question to answer. Like, what should you do if you want to get into the Trenton art scene? You should come to Trenton. That's a good idea. I always am recommending to people who come in and they say, you know, I have prints and I've got this, but I don't really know what to do. And how do I fill out any sort of form so I can put my work here? People ask that all the time. I come to the gallery and they say, can I get a piece in here? I'm like, kind of works like that sometimes, but not always. So normally I recommend people start with Art Online. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's free to submit. You have the opportunity to deal with the stress of printing and framing, or maybe finding the right canvas, and then dealing with a deadline and time period to drop off your work, to submit your work online, and if you can't do that, then you have to wait in line. So there's a lot of really good lessons to learn with Art Online that you can kind of get out of the way before you want to go to a more serious gallery or more serious organized space. And again, it's free. You have the opportunity to see your work on two separate days, and you know, it's a really great start to, mm-hmm. you know, this life in this world. So I would recommend doing that. Also, make sure that you have a solid description of what you do. So whether that's an artist statement, or maybe not even to share with other people, but try and write down what is your purpose, why is what you do important, and what are you trying to do moving forward. I think it's helpful for people, even if they have an artist statement or a plan of some form, when people ask you, because a lot of being artists is networking. If you go up to somebody and you say, hi, I'm an artist, and then, you know, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, great, what do you do? And then they could say, I'm a kind of a painter, and I kind of do this, and I kind of do that. You want to have a great elevator pitch. Right. All artists, you can tell, have been doing this for a while, they know what they do, they know where they've been, and they know why they do it, and they know why they're important and why they're special. And so in order to not even just that idea of walk the walk, because you don't need to do that here. Christy mentioned this, the art community here is extremely accepting, and we're very, very open to new people who are trying to join this kind of tribe that we have going on. But everything will be a little bit easier. And it also will make your work better if you define who you are and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that would be...
Or walk into any exhibit that happens in Trenton, because it's full of... Basically, we all support each other, so you're going to meet new artists that's part of the community, whether that be at the Road to Wing Lofts or Base Camp or Social or Champions or Millville, Saloon. I mean, any of those places, they are part of First Friday, JKC. You can walk into any of them and meet an artist, and they'll tell you, based on what you say, they're going to tell you where they go. Mm-hmm. They may say start with artworks. It's the easiest thing. I think it's the easiest place to start at, because that's their mission to
move.
And they have so many shows that you can just be in, you know, you can be part of, and that's how I started. Walking in artworks or volunteering for something, and you know, that's how we got into it.
I think my advice would be more general for, like, and that's generally, you have to put in the work. You have to do the research. We have the internet now. It makes life so much easier. Mm-hmm. Follow the directions. That is my biggest piece of advice, is if there are directions on how to apply for a show, just follow the directions.
How profound.
Read it again.
Just because you have a piece of art that you think is particularly amazing, if you're not following the directions, we're not looking at you. Mm-hmm. And that's not just BSB is not looking at you. Just about anywhere else is not looking at you either, because you couldn't follow the directions. Mm-hmm. That being said, I would also say it's very good to show up to places. Mm-hmm. You got to show up, but you can't be too opportunistic. Do not show up to an art opening and be like, here's my card, everybody. Look at me, and not the art that's currently on the walls. If you're being too opportunistic and not caring about the artists that are in the space right now, then no one's going to take you seriously. It's about, again, building community. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that deserves an opportunity. Everyone that is making art and making art that they feel is meaningful deserves equal airtime.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful advice. Yeah. So stay humble.
Yeah, exactly.
But also take care. It's such a fine line, because you have to promote yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Artists are, a lot of us are crap at that.
Yeah.
So just know the place, you know, confident in what you are. Take advantage of your opportunities, but don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't think of networking as networking. Think of it as trying to build real, meaningful relationships.
I mean, because those are sometimes where the opportunities are come, but don't, you know, if that opportunity is like, you're not going to see that person again, pull them aside after the show. Or before, come early and before the show.
Right.
But don't make yourself a scene during the show. Yeah. Unless the opportunity, unless that person or somebody asks.
Yeah. Sure.
Also, just a tip of advice. when you go to an opening, I would really not recommend asking someone who works at the gallery about getting a solo. That will put you on a list.
Because again, what Christy just spoke on is really a thing. You know, people like to network and go out, but, you know, and some people might view this opinion as being kind of purist, but you go to a show because someone spent their lifetime creating a body of work. And that's a lifetime of ideas and thoughts and pain and joy, which is made into this beautiful thing that's been everywhere. And if you go to a place and you run through the whole body of work and then you find a gallery attendant or a curator and say, so how do I get a solo here? How do I get a show here? It really does diminish the purpose of that artist.
Yeah.
It's like disrespectful. Sure. And it is quite a prevalent thing. So that would be my recommendation too.
Great advice.
Okay, this is my last question, and you can all answer as succinctly as you want to. If you could have your dream vision for the future of Trenton or art in Trenton, what would it look like? It's so broad, right? It's so big. But
I just want just the recognition that Trenton, and not, I think way outside of Trenton, there are a lot of people that appreciate Trenton art all night. Wouldn't have 30,000 people that come to it, and art all day and be well attended. But just the fact, just to have people recognize that there is a huge and very talented art community in here, and that goes for the suburbs. This is a city like any other city. Every city has problem areas. Every city has problems with crime. Every city has great neighborhoods. Every city has good galleries. Every city has some talent, and excluding Trenton. We have amazing talent, we have amazing people. I'm from Hopewell, I love it here. You know, you couldn't pay me, I love you, Hopewell, but you couldn't pay me to go back because the community is not the same. Mm-hmm. Our community is not the same. It's a little bit more fragmented in the city. There's so many different lives and so many different stories than there are in the suburbs because they're just smaller. Mm-hmm. And they're for a different thing. The city is about community, it's always been about community. And if it wasn't for this community, there are so many things I wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that same thing about my hometown as much as I love it. This town, this place is the reason I have my career. This is the reason I make money. That I am a working artist is because of Trenton.
So cool.
So I would say, overall, I would like to see a lot of the vacant buildings that we have become used. I think at our peak, we had something over like 120,000 people living here. I haven't checked this recently, but I think the last time when I knew this number, we now have 86,000. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be great to get another 20,000 people in. Mm-hmm. I know we have a parking epidemic. Would I like that for parking? No, I would not. But there are, even on the block that I live, there are 3 buildings, and I only live in a block with 8 buildings that are empty. So I would love to see more people move into the city, but I would be very upset to see if more people move into the city that lots of the people, the 86 that are remaining, have to leave. So I would really like to see new people come in and new people accept this place and become dedicated to this place, become stakeholders, buy buildings, become homeowners, take ownership, but I would also not interested in that if that means that original 86,000 have to leave. And I would love it if we could lift up our current community to the point where they have the capability to become stakeholders as well and purchase their own homes. Trenton in the United States has the lowest mortgage rate of the United States. So overall, that means like Alaskans own more homes in Alaska than the city of Trenton, which again is 86,000 people. So those numbers are insane. So I would love to see higher mortgage rate here. I would love to see more people owning homes and more people moving to this area, but also our pre-existing communities becoming stronger and more financially resilient. As far as the art scene goes, I think that we're growing at a really, really even great, and I'd love to see that continue. I'd love to see more galleries open up, small businesses, restaurants, all of that good stuff. But yeah, I would ideally, I would love everything to get better and for all the same people to still be here. You know, that's which, and you know, I think a lot of that is happening little by little.
Christy, vision for Trenton, what is it?
Well.
Here's the part two we were talking about.
It'd be nice if I could move here. Jeff Demos, get on that.
So Craig just buttoned his lip just now. Just audio show.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Anya and I are very much on the same page of what we want to see for Trenton. I would love to see more people come to Trenton. Like I said, I consider myself an outsider of Trenton, and I didn't really know much about it until 5 years ago, just that it was a city in New Jersey. And when I came here, you know, I didn't see all the flaws that everyone seems to badmouth Trenton about. I just saw the arts community, and you know, but I didn't really travel too far outside. You know, I didn't like walk around and take strolls anywhere. So like, I didn't really know too much. But you know, I'm out and about now because I can handle walking around Trenton.
Give your answer, Tom.
But I mean, I think it's a great community, and it can really only get better with more people knowing about it, in my opinion. Yeah, I would like to see more people travel here, learn about it, move here. I want to move here. And I don't want it to get overly gentrified, though, either. So, you know, not too many people that look like me should move here.
I'm not going to touch that.
But I absolutely get what you're saying.
Yeah.
20,000 of people that look like Christy. Okay.
It would be a scary sight.
Oh my goodness. Well,
that was intense.
Everyone's going to be walking around with parasols.
Oh my gosh. Listen, no offense, but I hope that does not happen. That was intense.
I had a great time with you guys.
We have fun.
Very, very cool.
I'm looking forward to more, coming to more things now that I have discovered this place for myself. Anything else?
Just thanks to Christy O'Connor for our new tagline of signing out the show. Trenton Waves, that's right, we are making waves.
Making waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
Taste Trenton 2019. Here's how it works. You purchase your wristband at TasteTrenton.com. You invite your friends to get their own wristband and join you. Pick up your wristband and your passport guide on the day of the event at Artworks. You choose the restaurant you want to visit, show your wristband, and enjoy the specialties at reduced prices. Continue on your excursion all weekend long, all 3 days. Update your photos and paste your comments on the Taste Trenton Facebook page, and then you return home satisfied that you know new places that you can go for lunch and dinner all year. Taste Trenton, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th, this year, 2019. See you there.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device, so call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.